You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Knockouts and Three Counts. As you can see, I'm not Devin, but I'm the only one rolling solo in the studio right now. And on the phone with me, we have Tony Thunder. How you doing, brother man?
That's me. Hey, you got the picture of me up there with, you know, I mean, me throwing up the pack and stuff. It's like, you know, you can see me right there in the corner next to Kyle. That's me. I haven't been in the studio for like a month now.
Hey, producer Randy, cutting
better.
In.
I can wipe my ass. I can feed Tony, myself.
Tony.
I can almost Tony, do a push-up.
Tony.
That's me.
Tony. We're not doing video tonight because only Kyle's in studio.
What the fuck? That's producer Randy, everybody. Producer Randy, why don't you give everybody your social medias?
Follow me on Twitter at Randy Walker or Instagram at Randy Walker 83.
And clearly, Devin and Kevin and Kyle don't love us anymore. They might love their mama, but they don't love us.
Sugar Salty Kyle, why don't you go ahead and get people your social medias?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit space N-O-K space O-U-T. Well, not on Twitter, obviously. There's no spaces. But you can also find me on Facebook at Kyle Collison. And check out the show at Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast.
If we not, well, before I give out my social medias, if we not doing the video, how they gonna hear what songs we play at halftime?
The video doesn't hear the songs either. The break songs are only for people listening live through the Podcast Detroit app.
So they never hear them anyways.
Oh, so, yeah. Everybody go to Pac. Well, if you don't know by now, then fuck.
What have you been doing?
Tony Thunder on Facebook. I'm Tony Thunder, underscore Thunder, on Instagram. I'm the Tony Thunder on Twitter. And I'm from Detroit. I'm also from my mama, but don't tell my daddy because he likes men, but that's cool.
Whoa. And we still haven't found the motherfucker from Twitter yet.
Sometimes I got two dads, you know. So sometimes I got two dads. Sometimes I got three dads. Sometimes I don't have a dad. I grew up without one.
So
where was I going with that? Why y'all usually stop me like from saying the wild crazy shit I want to say?
I figured, hey man,
before I get too wild. But guess what? Today I don't give a fuck. Huh?
So. Now that Tony has gave you the public service announcement, as most of you know that are watching wrestling, we've had the Superstar Shakeup going on Monday. And
of shaking up going on.
Yeah, Raw made out like bandits, all right? You got McIntyre and Ziggler coming over there. You got Bobby Roode coming over there. You had Jeff Hardy come over there. But he got the U.S. title from Jinder Mahal, who came over. You also had, who else all came over? You had Chad Gable, Mike Kanellis came over there. A lot of motherfuckers came over there.
Yeah, man. Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, if you didn't say those, I think you did.
Yep, those were the first ones. Let's talk about who we both like the most out of who's come over there and what we think about Raw as a whole since we're still kind of in the middle of SmackDown. For me, man, my favorite.
I'm gonna ask me a question and then jump into it. Like
I didn't know I answered question wise, but all right, you go
you
first.
Said, you know, how
let's
do you,
talk.
Let's, you know, how
I said
do
let's
feel
talk
about
it.
I'm gonna tell you how I feel about it. Go ahead.
All right, whatever. But we had for me, I liked the Ziggler Galloway thing, Galloway McIntyre, whatever you're gonna call him. I really enjoyed what he did at NXT and was bummed when he got hurt as champion. But I like them as a tag team if that's how they're gonna go with it. I was kind of surprised Jinder Mahal came over, but for me, I think the big win for Raw thus far was Ziggler and McIntyre.
Okay, we just got some news here. The Bar just went to SmackDown.
God damn.
So that's a good pickup for SmackDown right now. Asuka is officially over there on SmackDown now.
So is Samoa Joe.
Somebody who's named Chaos or somebody that's a team named Chaos, it looks like Sanity. But they said Chaos, so we don't really know. R-Truth is back. He's doing a segment with the New Day right now. So I guess he's injury-free and now on SmackDown.
I didn't even know why he was gone, to be honest.
He was injured.
So you said you don't know who the group is that's calling themselves Chaos, though. I wonder if that's going to be Sanity. Did they show them, or was it just like a vignette?
It was like a vignette.
Okay. So who are your big who are your favorite big moves so far?
Well, the bar just kind of surprised me. You got Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn over to Raw. I like the whole Jeff Hardy coming to SmackDown thing. I like the whole Dolph Ziggler and McIntyre thing with their tag finishers fucking dope. Man, yeah.
So with the bar coming over there, though, that leaves quite the cliffhanger. What happens with the Raw Tag Team titles now that the winner of that whole tournament or whatever you want to call it was supposed to face them for the vacant title?
We call that in the business blowing the spot, which means they virtually just told us the new tag team champions are going to be Bray and Matt.
Pretty much. I mean, I like that tag team personally, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. What did you think of them putting them two together finally after all the lackluster kind of story they had to that?
I was kind of upset that they didn't throw Jeff into the mix. I mean, they kind of had him in the final deletion match where he got in Bray's face and the whole delay thing, and then now he's had the one segment with him last week. Last week where he kind of did the whole Brother Nero thing, and then out of nowhere he, you know, they were like, oh, what was that about? He kind of just shrugged it off and went to SmackDown. So it's like, fuck, I wanted to see like the deleted family, you know. One thing I do like about the shakeup that's really going to be good is we finally get to see Daniel Bryan and Miz. So
I
that's
like going to
be fucking dope. Samoa Joe went to SmackDown, which kind of blew a spot with him and Roman.
Let me ask you this with what you just said. You know, we were talking about before, and for me, I couldn't agree more, was that a lot of the things they did at WrestleMania leading up to it and the Raw and SmackDown after kind of went exactly against everything they had in the dirt sheets. Do you think maybe part of the reason why they switched to like a Samoa Joe or, you know, the bar was maybe just to kind of keep trying to throw off all the dirt sheets? Because me personally, I'm not too mad at it if that's the reason why they're doing it, because it left WrestleMania in a spot where I felt like I didn't see a lot of it coming.
Well, they just announced that Chaos, the vignette, was for Sanity. So Sanity is called up to SmackDown.
I like that.
I don't think that the WWE is listening to the dirt sheets just to throw off the marks who listen to dirt sheets. I think that the dirt sheets are getting all the wrong information on purpose just to, you know, just so the WWE can do what they want. It's also just announced right now that CN Almas is called up to SmackDown.
I like that.
Yeah, that's going to be dope.
I think he's been ready for a little bit.
Dirt sheets go, like, you got guys like Dave Meltzer, who is pretty good at guessing, you know, certain things like, oh, I guess that right. That everybody gets behind the Meltzer train and say, oh, Meltzer knows what he's talking about, but they don't realize he's wrong. Like 80 to 20 is less than he is being right. Like, last time I remember Dave Meltzer being right about something big was probably like fucking 6 years ago, you know? So at the end of the day, you know, I never trust the dirt sheets. I never believed the dirt sheets. The only thing that I used to watch the dirt sheets for back in the day is for SmackDown spoilers. When SmackDown used to come on Thursday and Friday, but they used to tape on Tuesday, you know, I used to go on there and say, oh, what happened on SmackDown? I know I'm not going to be able to watch it, but at least I can get, you know, an advanced knowledge of what's going on. So that's the only thing I used to use the dirt sheets for personally. But as far as the dirt sheets go, man, I never trust the dirt sheets. I don't believe any of the rumors or bullshit they say, because, like I said, 8 times out of 10, they're usually wrong, especially guys like Meltzer. So it just boggles my mind how people are like, oh, it's so predictable, because you're listening to what the dirt sheets say, but when the dirt sheets are wrong, you're stuck. Like, oh, well, like, I love that shit. I love when the dirt sheets are wrong as fuck and it shits on all the marks who listen to
dirt. See, Devin and I, and I think maybe Kevin too, were having this conversation. Like, for me, dude, like, I like, the only thing I really like to read out of, like, the stuff that you see online is maybe, like, rumored as to like who might come over to WWE or vice versa and like that kind of stuff, like just that kind of stuff, like when they were talking about Lashley and all that stuff. Like when I was younger, like, you know, it was cool to kind of think that you knew what was going to happen beforehand, like if you read the spoilers and that kind of stuff. But dude, to be honest anymore, like I said, I was talking to Devin about it when we were doing the fights that we did last Saturday. I just told him, I said, dude, I would rather just kind of see it as it happens, because I feel like when you read all that shit, 9 times out of 10, I feel like the ones that are always getting mad are the ones that are reading that stuff. So if it doesn't happen how they think it should happen, then they're all getting pissed. For me, I'd rather it happen and it kind of surprised me, sort of. But while I brought it up, I just want to give a shout-out to Joe Battaglia for having us at TXC this past Saturday. Great fights, had us set up with great seats right outside of the cage. Shout-out to Marco on his big win for the welterweight title. Shout-out to Ermal and Adrian on their wins. Shout-out to Andre, past guest of the show, on his big knockout. Josh Bruckner, shout-out to him as well. And shout-out to Muneeb, man. He went in there and fought like
Shout-out to Muneeb any motherfucking way.
For sure. But I was just saying, he fought like a warrior, man. Like, even though he came up a little bit short this time, I mean, he went in and fought like a warrior and looked great leading up to getting caught.
That's all that matters,
I mean, that's...
He's about to come back killing motherfuckers.
That's 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 part of the sport. So we'll definitely, and there we may be out there again in September for TXC. So keep your eyes open for that as well. But Tony, we also got something.
Also, keep your eyes open for us coming down to Toledo pretty soon to check out NOW wrestling. We could do some live commentary, get some live interviews going in right there. You know what I mean?
That sounds fun to me.
The internet knows if you're a fan of the indies and you are a fan of, you know, things that happen on the indies on the internet, and you've heard of the elbow drop heard around the world and felt around the world when Marcus Everett jumped, I think, a story and a half off the ledge of the side of the building and missed the table that he was supposed to be hitting.
I saw that.
Yeah, so we'll be talking to him about how his elbow feels, because he obviously didn't break anything or extend anything or hurt anything, and his elbows, his one elbow is stronger than both of my elbows. But yeah, man, we got a lot of big things coming up.
Yeah,
and a lot of things going on.
You can also find
speaking of shakeups as well, I wanted to say that we do have we got a guest tonight who should be giving us a call here any second, who is doing a little shakeup of his own. You know, coming from the Southwest, kind of West Coast ish indie territory, and coming over here to the Midwest is a big jump, and I can say that firsthand because I was trained here in the Midwest. And I made my jump to the Southwest / West Coast and knew nobody or nothing. So I didn't know how to get into shows because I was still green as fuck. Didn't know how to get on shows. Didn't know any of that. So that kind of really took a toll on my wrestling and just the dynamic of the change and the lucha wrestling out there as opposed to the Americano wrestling out here. And just the scene change is completely different. The way the boys treat each other is completely different. The politics is different. So... You know, we're going to be talking to him about the shakeup that he's going through himself and what he's looking forward to out here and things like that.
And he picked quite the hotbed to go to in Ohio, correct? Because from what I've been seeing, man, Ohio's been pretty hot lately.
Now, Ohio is like, if Washington, D.C. is the capital of the United States of America, if wrestling, if indie wrestling and professional wrestling was the United States of America, Ohio would be the capital of professional wrestling. I mean, I'm a Michigan boy to my heart. You know, I love Michigan. I'll always be a Detroit boy first. I'll always be a Wolverine over a Buckeye. But when it comes to professional wrestling, some of the biggest and best names in the business came from Ohio, and some of the biggest and best promotions in America right now are in Ohio. So.
Hey, Tony, quick production note. We're not in a regular studio tonight. Did you give your guest the right phone number?
I gave him the number that Kyle gave me.
Okay, cool. Just checking.
Okay.
Yep, I gave you the one that he gave me, so if it's the wrong number, I didn't do it. But yeah,
well, he said he's on the wrong side of the valley for phone reception. So he said he was going to go to the other side of the mountain to get some better reception, and it should take him maybe 10 or 20 minutes. So
okay, cool.
More than likely, he's going to be the second half of the show.
Cool. And one other thing while we're talking about live things that we're going to be at, I don't know that we'll be doing a live show from this event, but next week we'll be bringing you past guests of the show, Movado, as he gets ready for Ula Lucha May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo at St. Andrews Hall downtown, and he's getting ready to go make his way over to Mexico to go do some work out there. So we're going to have
Movado. Mysterious Movado?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's from Planet Detroit. He's not even a human.
Yep, and we may have a surprise guest as well, too, so keep your eyes open. You definitely don't want to miss that one. But we've talked a little
it's
bit.
It's not a surprise now.
Well, I didn't say anything. I just said we may have a surprise, so it still is a surprise.
We may have a surprise. Now people are going to be looking forward to a surprise, but if we ain't got no surprise.
We'll think of something.
Okay. I just wanted to.
But we've talked a little bit about the shakeup and stuff like that. What are some things with what they've had happen so far? Are there anything you're looking forward to? Anything you'd like to see happen? Anything of that nature?
I wanted to see Velveteen get called up, man.
You think they're ready to put him up already?
I mean, do you really want to see him for a whole another year in NXT? I mean, he's kind of spread his wings as far as NXT will allow him to go without holding the championship.
Do you think they could go back to him and Aleister Black now, though?
They could. I mean, that was a good rivalry. Having it be for the title now would be dope if, you know, Velveteen goes over. That would be dope. I wouldn't mind that at all.
Especially with Almas going to SmackDown.
Yeah. I mean, especially as far as, like, new guys there, like, you know, your Ricochets, your EC3s, you know, as far as, like, being over and, like, spreading your wings. He's, like I said, besides winning the title, he's spread his wings as far as they can go in NXT. You know, he's as over as he's going to be in NXT.
I can see that, and I've been a big fan of what he's doing. I like how he changes his look for each consecutive big match and things like that.
He got that Rick Rude feel.
For sure.
You know, like how Rick Rude used to do that back in the day.
That's the first thing I thought when I saw his pants. Was it War Games when he faced Aleister Black? That's the first thing I thought of was Rick Rude. You know, a lot of people are saying they think that they've depleted NXT too much, but to me, man, it seems like every time they've, you know, kind of plucked a bunch of talent, I mean, they've come back strong still.
They fill it back up.
So I'm at the point where it's like, I'm not even saying nothing, because every time they've plucked a bunch of people, they've raised a whole new group of talent. And speaking of NXT talent, I do have one other question for you. So we know from the shakeup that the Riot Squad went to Raw, and Absolution is still on Raw. Now that Paige is the new general manager.
No, Absolution went to SmackDown.
Okay, so, see, I haven't watched SmackDown. I'm just seeing whatever they're putting on on the phone.
My bad, I thought I gave you that update. Yeah, Absolution is on SmackDown. You got the Iconic Duo on SmackDown.
Do you think, do you see Paige, like, helping them out, or do you think Paige is going to stay singular on this one?
Well, after she did her whole retirement spiel and kind of had her face turn, I don't see her doing too much with them. They'll probably just keep her away from them, kind of like they're going to keep New Day away from her. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's going to be one of those things where they kind of avoid each other until they need to be seen on screen together, which I don't think they need to be seen on screen together, unless it's kind of one of those bump into moments, like, oh, hey, how you? Oh, yeah, cool. Oh, yeah. And that's it. Like,
yeah, and they wouldn't do that for quite a while, because, I mean, it's so fresh and all that stuff, I would imagine.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, there's that aspect to it. But what were you saying, like, about NXT?
I was just saying, like, with the way that they've plucked out all the talent and stuff, I just said I think that NXT as a whole has done a good job of replenishing itself. And the reason I went to those was because, you know, both there's been a lot of talk from a lot of people. They thought maybe that Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose either came up too soon, and the same when Ruby Riott and all the Riott Squad came up.
They kind of said the same thing about Apollo Crews back in the day. You know, to me, it just depends on what can they do with you in NXT, and how over can you get in NXT before you become stale. You know, like, that's what I'm worried about with Velveteen. Like, he spread his wings as far as NXT will allow him to go without being champion. So if they don't plan on putting the title on him soon, what are they gonna do with him before he gets stale? I mean, you got so much talent in NXT right now. You got War Inc., you got Ricochet, you got EC3, you got Gargano and Tommaso still there. You got Undisputed Era there with Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, you got Roderick Strong still there with them. You got Adam Cole, baby. You got, you know, so much talent there in NXT. Like, what can you do with all of that talent? Like, NXT roster is starting to eventually going to go hand to hand with Raw and SmackDown, like as far as talent goes, you know, because we all know what Ricochet can do. We all know what Adam Cole can do. We all know what War Inc. can do. We all know what all these guys who I name can do. You got Sanity that just got called up to SmackDown to get more space for guys in NXT. So, you know, it's like, how long are you going to hold guys there before they get stale?
I completely agree.
Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose were getting stale.
I think as far as NXT goes, and I've said this for quite a while, I mean, even though NXT is quote-unquote their developmental, I mean, I think it's a very viable argument at this point that NXT really is like the third brand. Like, you can't even, I mean, I don't even really consider it much developmental other than.
I wouldn't say that.
I think it could be.
To me, the third brand, me personally, I would say that the third brand is 205.
I think as of right now, but I'm saying if NXT stays on the streak it's been with as hot as it is, I could see it being a third brand eventually.
I mean, I see a lot of NXT guys right now could be very beneficial to 205, like guys I named, like Ricochet. He's 205 material. He would help the brand out tremendously. If they put guys like Adam Cole there, if they put guys like Kyle O'Reilly there, you know, there's a lot of guys in NXT that could go and make 205, like, put it on the map.
Would make them better. I agree with that, but my only question to you is this with that. So I think they would help 205 greatly, especially all the names that you named, but do you think by them putting them on 205 that's going to kind of, like, pigeonhole them to where they're going to be cruiserweights, like, period, and they don't end up, like, moving them up? Because, I mean, Aleister Black is another one that I've always hoped that they wouldn't put him there because he's a little bit over 205, but, like, you know, like a guy like Ricochet, you know, we've seen him mix it up in other companies with a lot of the heavyweight guys. Do you see any of those guys, if they do put them on 205 when they leave NXT, do you see them ever being able to cross over into that heavyweight range, or do you see them being stuck on 205?
I mean, 205 has their guys have matches on Raw and SmackDown, so you still got that. I don't know if they don't do it much anymore, but they would still have like the biggest storyline of 205 bleed into Raw or SmackDown. And I think that really would give them, I mean, well, if you're trying to make 205 that third brand or that next thing to watch, I don't know why you wouldn't have Ricochet and those guys over there. I don't think it would pigeonhole them at all because it gives them a chance to be the top guy on that brand and be the guy to carry that brand without having to worry about running into guys like Braun Strowman and getting squashed, or running into guys like the Bludgeon Brothers and getting squashed, or anything like that. So it definitely does give them their own avenue to work their own style and to, like I said, make 205 that next brand. But I don't think it'll pigeonhole them at all.
I agree that it would be good for them to have that exposure of like holding down a brand, but do you ever see any of those guys like ever being able to transition over to the heavyweight ranks, especially with guys with like Daniel Bryan or Rey Mysterio or guys like that? I mean, I know Vince normally goes with the bigger guys, but I mean, at this point, I mean, I think it's been proven that they're starting to use.
I don't think Vince always goes with the bigger guys, because if that's the case.
He had for a while, but I mean, nowadays it's not so much. That's what I'm seeing. Do you think now that they've kind of opened that door with guys like Daniel Bryan, do you think, do you see those guys?
There's guys like Punk, too.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
Like you said, Mysterio, Jeff Hardy. You know, Jeff Hardy makes a lot of these guys look small.
Yeah.
You know?
he's deceptively bigger than a lot of guys think. You know, I just mean
and he was considered a small guy back in the day.
Yeah,
now you see him next to guys, and it's like, oh damn, Jeff is huge. You know,
well, so, yeah, and that's why I say, because like, I mean, I follow guys like Ricochet on Instagram and stuff like that, and he's noticeably put on more size even since he was in Lucha Underground and stuff. So I just would like to see, you know, I liked seeing things like that with like Mysterio and stuff like that, like doing the underdog role. So if they do that with the cruiserweight division, I just hope that those guys will get chances with the top tier guys as well on Raw and SmackDown. Just me personally.
Right. I mean, like I said, 205 needs help. You know, they're trying right now. They got a GM. That's something new. You know, they may need a tag title or like a secondary title with more people on the roster. It just seems like they're missing a beat. I don't know what it is. The fans, like I mentioned last week, the fans are really fickle about what they want in matches. Because when I watch 205 matches, I see some of the best matches in the week. Like, oh, shit, this 205 match was better than most matches on Raw and SmackDown. But the crowd sits on their hands. It reminds me a lot of the old WCW days when Jericho and Guerrero would go out there and have the best match of the fucking night. And the crowd just sits there like they don't give a fuck. They're up getting popcorn. They're sitting in their hands. They're just watching like, oh, wait, can't wait for this shit to be over. And now you got those same people who were there in the crowd watching it, sitting in their hands with their fingers up their ass, are now like, oh, I was there for that match. That was the best match I ever seen. And all that shit is like, the hype train needs to come to 205 because the matches are fucking amazing. Dave Meltzer fucking shitting on the Cedric and Mustafa match.
Bullshit. Thought
that was one of the best matches.
I
thought that was one of the best matches at WrestleMania.
I agree.
Top five, definitely.
I agree, and the crowd in that arena definitely was going nuts for it, at least the ones that were already there. I really enjoyed that match. Another guy that I really like what they've been doing with in 205, and that I like that they're finally starting to build some of the guys that they have there. Like, I like what they've been doing with Buddy Murphy, personally.
Buddy Murphy has came the fuck up, man. I like Buddy Murphy. I've liked him since him and Bliss and fucking Wesley Blake did
their
whole gimmick. And
I agree. I just like that.
I don't know what
like
the hell
that
happened
to
Wesley Blake, but that
he's
was a
part
good
of
name.
The Forgotten Sons down there in NXT now. He's part of, it's him, and I think it was Steve Cutler, I believe. But they repackaged him in another tag team. But as far as Buddy Murphy goes, I agree. I liked them as a tag team, and I thought that Bliss was a good manager for them. But I really like, I respect the hell out of Buddy, what Buddy Murphy's doing, for the fact that he kind of, they put him over there on 205, and he's taking the opportunity and running with it. And I think he's had some pretty badass matches since he went over there too.
I agree. And, it depends, like, with as small as a roster as 205 is and only having an hour on television and matches usually run 15 minutes, how much can you do with him before you put him in a title picture?
Yeah.
Like,
that looks,
you know,
like where they're going
how
next.
How long are you
going
to build him before you give him that chance to go against Cedric? And, you know, is it too soon to take the title away from Cedric? Because Cedric has been built up for almost a whole year from getting this title. And
with the Enzo
he
stuff.
Finally gets the opportunity, and he wins it. So now it's like, what now? You know?
I agree. Another thing that they announced, well, they announced it a while ago, but now they've pretty much made it public at this point. What do you think about them going back to the dual-branded pay-per-views?
I like it. I think that it's a smart move on the business end of everything. I mean, as much as you want to see guys get an opportunity in the pay-per-view as much as the next person, the pay-per-views were starting to just look like another episode of the show itself. You know, the only difference is that the title would be on the line, you know? So with them bringing it back together, I think it makes the pay-per-view a pay-per-view again. It makes it a big show again. You know what I mean? It limits the possibilities of what could happen at the pay-per-view, as opposed to just, like I said, right now, if you look at SmackDown, you know, you got so many people who can go into a pay-per-view. You got 8 matches at a pay-per-view and you only got 3 titles. You know, you got 5 other matches that's going to be just blow-offs from storylines. Mm-hmm. You know, so with it having that same feel as, oh, I'm watching SmackDown, they just got a different ring, a different set, and, you know, another hour, you actually can look forward to what's going to happen at the pay-per-view because they're probably going to split it 4 and 4. 4 matches from Raw, 4 matches from SmackDown, which means it should be the titles from Raw, the titles from SmackDown, the biggest storyline from Raw that's not involved in the title, and then the biggest storyline from SmackDown that's not involved with the title. Then, boom, you got yourself a grand pay-per-view. And with them doing it every month, of course, they got those certain pay-per-views where it's going to mean a lot more, like money with Money in the Bank. Now you got fucking two Money in the Bank winners. Run from Raw, run from SmackDown, instead of just having a SmackDown Money in the Bank winner who can't even fucking cash in on Raw. You know what I mean? So
do you think
you got your bragging rights, you got your Survivor Series where the cross brand is going to happen anyway. So
another thing that I personally like it better too, for a lot of reasons, because I think it brings more to the shows. But one thing I would like to see that I hope happens is now that you're going to have, and everybody knows, like all the pay-per-views are going to be co-branded, you know, I would like to see it kind of go back to where it was kind of from like the 2002 range when they first did the split, to where they tried to play it off where it was like Raw versus SmackDown. Now that you have that, I think it would be cool on like the big shows if they did like interpromotional stuff and kind of had them go back and forth. And you mentioned Money in the Bank. I wonder, do they go back to, instead of having two men's Money in the Banks, what if they go back to, you know, you have one men's Money in the Bank and one women's Money in the Bank, especially if you're doing co-branded pay-per-views. I mean,
but the brand split now isn't so much of, oh, Raw versus SmackDown. It's more so of two completely separate brands. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the New Japan and ROH thing. Like they stay separate. They work together sometimes to bring you big events, but they stay separate. Their champions are separate. You may see one guy with the title go over to the other show sometimes, but he's the champion of that brand. You know what I mean? So when you got one Money in the Bank winner and he's on SmackDown, it really kills the Raw competition having a Money in the Bank guy. I think it's better to keep them split, you know, because if, let's say, for example, you got Seth who wins Money in the Bank for Raw. We know he can't cash it in on SmackDown, but it also gives a guy like Nakamura a chance to have the Money in the Bank briefcase for SmackDown. So there's going to be four ladder matches off the rip for that.
Yep. I just liked it from – that was one thing I only meant from more so a standpoint, I guess, when it comes to like Money in the Bank and those things, and I only say that because – I was a fan of, like, back when Edge had it, and then he showed up on SmackDown and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So for me, I always was a fan of that. I just wondered if maybe you thought that they would go back to that, and that was something I was kind of hoping they may do.
I mean, they kind of do that already with the Survivor Series thing, where the champ of Raw will go against the champ of SmackDown, the Intercontinental Champion of one show will go against the U.S. champion of the other show. The tag team champions will go against each other. The women's champ of one show will go against the women's champ of the other. Then you got the other matches where it's like, oh, this top guy versus that top guy. So, you know, Survivor Series, and that actually makes Survivor Series a more big event that you want to see rather than it happening every month. If it happened every month, you wouldn't care when it happened at Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess I don't mean necessarily every month. I just meant, like, when you had things where they were bound to, like, run into each other, like a Money in the Bank, a Survivor Series, Royal Rumble,
WrestleMania.
Yeah, that kind of
Survivor
stuff.
Series,
you know what
Summer
I'm saying?
Slam.
Yeah, like the big ones. Like, you know, do set up interpromotional shit like they used to do back in the day. But speaking of interpromotional stuff, we also have the greatest Royal Rumble card coming up at the end of the month. I have the match card up here in front of me. I was just thinking we could run through the match card and kind of get your thoughts, my thoughts on where we see that stuff going.
Yeah, I mean, we could do our full predictions next week, but I'll do what
just skim through it. From this is just what's confirmed so far. So I mean, they could have more stuff. From what I'm reading, as far as what they have going on so far. Obviously, you have the 50-man Royal Rumble, which that's got chaos written all over it. I don't really know who I would say would win that. I kind of partially could see, for me, I kind of think it might be Daniel Bryan because everybody was so salty he didn't win the Royal Rumble before. I kind of could see that, especially with him just coming back.
And how hot he is.
For sure. And then it has the Bar versus Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt for the Raw Tag Team titles. But obviously,
but we know who's winning that.
Exactly. You don't know. I mean, now you know that they're over on SmackDown. You have John Cena versus Triple H.
See, that match right there is going to be the match to talk about, in my opinion, because you got Triple H, who everybody always cries, oh, Triple H got the golden shovel, all he do is bury guys. But historically, all Triple H has done is put guys to fuck over.
Yeah.
John Cena. You got people, John Cena, all he does is bury people, and all he does is bury motherfuckers. He doesn't let anybody get over, and that's all the fuck he's been doing for like the last 5 years. This match is going to be like, who's going to put who over? They both are legends in their own right. They're both are future Hall of Famers. They're both are multiple-time champions. They're both are two of the biggest names in the fucking business, and they've done nothing but put guys over the last 5 years. I can't remember the last time Triple H won a match. I can't remember the last time John Cena won a match. And they're going against each other. What the fuck? This is fucking huge to me.
I like it just for the fact they're guys that, not Cena as much, but obviously Triple H is somebody I grew up on, so I always love to see him wrestle. But another big match that I hadn't even seen.
Kyle, you grew up on John Cena, man. You only like 12.
Get the fuck out of here. But another.
How old are you, Kyle?
I'll be 26 in September.
Yeah, you've been watching Cena since you were in middle school.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I grew up on Triple
H.
That's
growing up on Cena, bro.
Yeah, but I've told you this before. I, in my opinion, as far as Cena goes, I totally feel like he gets a way worse rap than he should have. I've said that for quite a long while. I mean, I'm going to be honest, for a while, I did feel like they were pushing him down people's throats. But at this point, dude, I mean, it's hard to argue. The guy's gotten way better in the ring, in my opinion. The guy has, I guess, and it's no secret, working with kids with disabilities and stuff, I love his work outside of the WWE. And like you said, with people always saying that he's burying people, I mean, look what he did at WrestleMania. I mean, he lost in less than 3 minutes to The Undertaker. So, I mean, that pretty much just buries that. But another match that I just saw that's on the card.
Wait. Speaking of John Cena, how could we not talk about the biggest news in the biggest room in the elephant right now?
Uh-oh, here we go.
Man, I didn't see this coming.
Hell no, and they were just talking about last week they had already set a date and shit.
Yeah, apparently this is like the thing now that people have been seeing coming and all that shit. I didn't see it coming. But John Cena is no longer with Nikki Bella. So you know what that means, Kyle. You now again have a chance to get in the pants of John Cena.
Whoa. I don't swing that way, brother.
Hey, come on, man.
Nikki's a different story.
Who wouldn't fuck John Cena?
Not me, but Nikki's a different story.
if John Cena gave you a few shots, you know, you couldn't see him, but you definitely feel him. Come on now.
Oh, my God. The only thing I have to say with that as far as the Cena and Nikki split is, like, I can't say I'm super surprised, only for the fact that, I mean, the guy said for how many years he never wanted to get married, and then out of nowhere, on, like, the biggest stage you can do it at WrestleMania, all of a sudden he proposes, and then it's been in the news that they've had issues since.
Apparently the big issue was that she wasn't seeing him enough. Now, that's no joke. I'm not joking about the whole you can't see me thing. I'm not making a pun. The real life reason that they broke up is because of scheduling conflicts. She couldn't see him enough.
I can see that, and that's been the story of a lot of wrestling relationships. I'm just saying, with like his stance on the whole marriage thing, I wasn't super surprised.
And then it was his whole stance on having kids. He didn't want any kids,
yeah.
And then he started to come around and change his mind about that. So.
But another thing that I wanted to bring up that I think you'll be a big fan of, too, because this is the first time I've actually looked through the rest of this card here for this Greatest Royal Rumble. They're doing...
Oh, wait. We gotta talk about another elephant in the room, speaking of the Greatest Royal Rumble. Rusev!
I was getting there. I was going to save that for last because I figure we both had quite the opinion.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Keep it going, Dan.
So
we'll last.
We've got The Miz versus Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe in a ladder match for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be fucking badass.
I mean, you got two guys from SmackDown and two guys from Raw, so the Intercontinental title could end up on SmackDown.
I like it. And I mean, you've got the same thing with the U.S. title. They have... Jeff Hardy versus Jinder again. So, I mean, you could switch both the titles back, which that brings The thing I like is for this being a quote-unquote network special, because, I mean, all the pay-per-views pretty much are at this point, too. I mean, they've got quite the intrigue for it because you don't know how the hell it's going to play out. You know, you really – I mean, with that many interpromotional things, you don't know how that's going to play out other than, like, with the whole – I think it's pretty obvious with the Bar versus Matt Hardy and Bray and them.
Yeah.
But the only other match you have on the card of note, you have the Bludgeon Brothers versus the Usos for the SmackDown titles. I think the Bludgeon Brothers will probably hold on to it because I don't think they'll switch them that quick.
Man, I just don't like how they've been dominating and shitting on the entire division. Like,
they're trying to build them up as killers.
Nobody.
Though.
What?
They're trying to build them up as killers, though.
I understand that, but at the same time, do they have to shit on the division? I mean, you got the Usos and the New Day, who are arguably two of the greatest tag teams in the WWE
Agreed.
Today, in the business today.
Agreed.
Then they've been killing it in matches. Like, they had, like, arguably two of the top 10 matches of the year last year, and two of their matches was like 2017 match of the year candidate. They're out there killing it, bringing the tag team division life on SmackDown. Then you got these guys who just come and shit on them. Like, literally shit on them. Like, 5-minute matches, just killing them and whooping their ass. Like, what is the point of that if you had these two tag teams build up the division just to have these guys come and shit on the division? The same way I felt about Braun Strowman and that kid beating the Bar. Like, if Braun wasn't going to keep the tag titles in some form or another, why have him fucking win them at all?
Yeah, I agree.
Get it on the tag team division.
I can definitely see your point with that. I mean, I like that they've built another tag team, but to shit on two of the teams that have been arguably your best tag teams you guys have had in years. I mean, I don't necessarily like that either. You also have on this card, you're going to have Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns in a cage match. Do you think they're finally going to give Roman the belt here, or do you think Brock will hold on to it?
I think Brock is going to hold on to it.
The
only reason I think that is because you got Roman, who's scheduled to go against Samoa Joe after his whole thing with Brock. So Brock will probably take a few months off and go and fucking do whatever he wants to do while Roman sticks around and fucking has his thing with Samoa Joe. Because him going against Samoa Joe for the WWE Championship really doesn't do anything with Joe being on SmackDown now.
Yeah.
So they kind of killed that too.
And then last but not least, we have... Now that they've changed the match once again, they have Rusev versus The Undertaker in a casket match after just, what, a week ago? They switched it and had it. It was supposed to be Jericho. They switched it to Jericho versus Undertaker. So now it's back to its original form to Rusev versus The Undertaker. From what I've been reading, even like TMZ noted about it, something about WWE being pissed about, you know, Rusev making comments about The Undertaker being old or whatever. What are your thoughts on this match? How do you see it going? And what are your thoughts on them with all the switches?
Well, the first thing that I hated was all of the fans bitching, moaning, and complaining. And the second thing I hated was that Rusev himself fed into the ego of the mark-ass fans who were bitching, moaning, and complaining. The fact that when I first found out about the match, the first thing I saw was fans complaining, oh, they're burying Rusev. They're going to bury Rusev, literally. First of all, it's a fucking casket match, not a buried alive match. That's first and fucking foremost. Then I saw Rusev himself on Twitter say, oh, just bury me slowly, brother. And it's just like, you're feeding into what the mark-ass fans are saying just because you're trying to get a pop with the wrong fans. Like, what a lot of people don't realize is that the dirt sheet, indie-loving fans who want everything to go their way just so they can complain that it's too fucking predictable are only 30% of the WWE fan base.
That's
which
true.
Means you got 70% of fans who are children, women, older people who don't know anything about the indies or dirt sheets. So do you want to fucking cater to the 30% of fans? Or the 70% of fans? Where's your money? Like, you're over. Rusev is over right now.
So
I have a bad feeling Rusev is going to be a flash in the pan. he's going to be another Fandango dance or the fucking Zack Ryder hype train or any other train that's come and gone in the WWE. It's like a flash in the fucking pan. And the way Rusev is conducting himself and the way Rusev is going, he's going to end up being that.
I hope not, because I've liked what they've done with Rusev. It's funny you mentioned Zack Ryder, because he was another one we didn't mention that went to Raw. But for this match, man, like, I never understood the whole burial thing. Everybody's always so quick to say they're burying Rusev, but yeah, I kind of thought that he should have won the U.S. title at Mania. But as far as this match goes, I think, if anything, The Undertaker's just come back again. You're going to have him go against The Undertaker in The Undertaker's kind of match on the first ever big pay-per-view over there in Saudi Arabia with the 50-man Royal Rumble. So basically, you're probably going to be like the co-main event. I mean, I don't really see that necessarily.
Why does Rusev deserve to win against The Undertaker in a fucking casket?
I'm not
match?
Saying he even needs to win. I don't think it's a bear.
No, I don't understand. I understand that. I'm just asking, like, for basis. Like, what has Rusev won to deserve to win that kind of match? First of all, the fact that Rusev is even in that fucking match is a fucking honor and a fucking push.
I agree.
And one thing I hate is when the Indy Love and Dirt Sheet Marks say words like buried and don't know what the fuck it means. They don't know what buried means. Buried doesn't mean, okay, I'll give you a perfect example. Finn Balor lost one match on Raw to Kane, and everybody was like, oh, Finn is getting buried. They're burying Finn. And I'm like, he just lost one match against Kane. How do you know they're not trying to build Kane back up to be a fucking monster demon? Then sure enough, Kane ended up going against Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar for the title. Boom! They're building fucking Kane. They're not burying fucking Finn.
Tony,
is that the voice of God? Uh-oh.
Tony, I think it's time to take a break.
That's me. It's time to take a break?
It's time to take a break.
Moses? Is that you, Moses?
I don't know, but it's kind of scary in here. Ladies and gentlemen, I better take a break before something bad happens. We'll be back in a minute.
Uh-oh.
Watch how I talk, and it's still whooping, bitch. Watch how I ball, while it's still tripping.
This is Mr. Anderson, and you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. You've got Kyle Collison in studio, and on the phone with us, we have Tony Thunder, along
That's
with
me.
One of our guests. Tony, why don't you introduce our guest?
Yo, we got none other than Josh Carey calling in from Phoenix, Arizona. What's going on, Josh?
You know, just keeping it real. As real
why don't
as I
you
can.
Put your social media out there for the people. As real as you can. Why don't you go ahead and put your social medias out there for the people?
Oh, well, I got my Twitter is WWJSCD. I don't really punk around with the Instagram or other stuff too much, just Twitter and Facebook. Joshua Scott Carey on Facebook.
Nice. And you are currently in Phoenix, right?
No, I now live in Ohio.
Oh, you're currently in Ohio now.
Yeah, it's like I've been here for like, I think maybe 4 days, 5 days, something like that.
Oh, nice. Did you travel alone?
I came up with my fiance.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, well, Miss Skippy Two Rad.
Is this your first time in the area, or are you originally from, you know, around here? I know that you did live in Priest River for a while. Did you grow up there, or did you grow up in Phoenix?
Well, my actual track of life, I was born in Sandpoint, Idaho. Grew up in Priest River, Idaho. Moved to Phoenix, or actually it was Glendale, December 23rd, 1996. Lived there for about a year or so, and then moved a little further up north, still in Glendale. But ultimately lived in Arizona for just over 20 years, and then recently moved over here to Ohio, Canton, Ohio, to be exact. And kind of where I'm at now.
Nice. Well, when you went to Phoenix, it sounded like you were pretty young when you go out there, when you went out there. Is that where you went to school and grew up? Well, obviously, you went to school there and grew up there, but did you have any college life, or did you just kind of go to professional wrestling after high school?
Oh, no, not at all. Shoot, I Let's see, I would have been 11 when I moved to Arizona, and I didn't have much of a choice because I wasn't exactly emancipated or anything, so I got to move with my parents.
Okay.
So, yeah, we moved up here, and then once I graduated high school, messed around a little bit with some college, you know, did some odd jobs, learned a couple trades. I didn't start wrestling or start training to wrestle until I was like, I want to say I was like 21, maybe something like that. Maybe.
Okay.
And I trained for a year and a half before I started to even wrestle.
Where did you train at? Who were your trainers?
I originally trained with, it was Vince Vega out of California, rest in peace. And then I sharpened my tools pretty much anywhere I would go and learn from anybody that would teach me. But I got a lot of my tutelage from Don Vitale and Gabriel Gallo out of various parts of Arizona now. But I learned from everybody that I've ever come across and anybody that ever fought and beat me. Anybody I've ever fought and won, it's always something to be learned from everybody.
I think that those guys are probably pretty strict on body imaging.
Yeah.
The reason I say that, many people don't know this, but me and Josh Carey once teamed up in CDC wrestling, and one of the first things he said to me is, you're grotesque and out of shape. Yep. You know what grotesque means? And I said, yeah. And he's kind of like, good. And just walked off. And I was like, well, that was pretty cool. he then later, you know, gave me a little bit of critique, you know, what I could do in the ring and things. But his biggest thing was that I was out of shape. So shout out to Josh Carey for me losing like fucking 22 pounds since then. But yeah, man, you've always been in pretty good shape when it comes to wrestling, I take it.
Shape is a matter of opinion. Because you're going to have people that are going to see me and say, look at this skinny piece of whatever. Who could he beat? Yada, yada. He's too skinny. You know, whatever. But at the same time, you know, cardio can carry you really far. Your heart
right.
can carry you really far. So just because you're not 350 pounds pushing muscle, that just means, you know, at 180 pounds, you're going to have to work a hell of a lot harder. Because you got to find a way to beat up a 380-pound dude, you know?
Absolutely.
The only choices are to win or lose. And if you don't want to lose, you have to win. So you got to find a way to win.
Absolutely. And we were just talking about the shake up a little bit earlier, the WWE, how guys are jumping from Raw to SmackDown, the different dynamic in the two shows. But you're doing a shake-up of your own, you know, coming out from the Southwest region of what we would call, you know, the territories in the Indies, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, the Indies, the territories, whatever. But we know that it's different state by state or area by area you go to. Have you had any shows here in Ohio yet or in this area, or what differences are you looking for? And, you know, how do you think that dynamic is going to change for you?
I haven't got to compete in Ohio in a while. The last time I did was for JCW.
Nice.
At the Gathering of the Juggalos a few years ago. My first couple of gatherings was actually in Ohio at Hog Rock, but great experience. But since then I haven't got to compete in Ohio yet. Right now I just moved in here, so I just made contacts with a couple places to start training out here with some new people to learn, you know, the East Coast edge, add it to my West Coast heat, and see what kind of fire I can bring to the East Coast and shake some shit up while I'm here, you know?
Nice. So, is it any guys in the area that you've kind of scouted and look forward to working with, or just kind of like anything goes?
Right now, I'm just trying to just be super cool with everything and not be judgmental with everything and just kind of approaching everybody, you know, like it's my fresh start and a brand new start, and I don't want to be judgmental to anybody else or anything else. So I'm just approaching everything, you know, until I can prove otherwise. I'll take you for your word, you know, because, you know, I'm just trying to be on a, you know, you don't want to have bad karma coming into a new place or a new area, you know, because you ran your mouth or you said something you shouldn't have or said something out of context or someone took something the wrong way, you know, just keep my head down just until I can kind of get my bearings. And then from there, you all better look out.
So what was it about Ohio, you know, that made you want to go over there? I mean, obviously we know about OVE that's doing their thing over there and Impact, and Sammy Callahan's been doing his thing all over the place. But you've got AIW and a bunch of other places that are over there in Ohio. You know, what was it that made you specifically pick Ohio?
Well, the biggest part is the fact that my fiance is from here. But that wasn't necessarily my sole deciding factor. The fact is that Ohio is, it's, especially where she's at, it's nice and it's quiet. You're next to trees, next to nature. Get away from the whole city, the city life that you can, you know, put a real drain on you, you know. But I'm also super close to a lot of places here. You know, I can still, you know, hit the mid-Midwest ish area, the central America, United States, and still be super close to the East Coast. I'm just right here kind of puts me like right in the heart of this side of the world, you know, as far as American wrestling goes.
Absolutely. And I kind of mentioned a little bit earlier that if pro wrestling was the United States itself, Ohio would probably be the nation's capital.
Right. Yeah.
At least in my opinion.
Right. Well, you know, the fastest way to take down any monster is through the heart. So if I'm going to take apart wrestling, you know, the way I'm going to, I got to find the heart. And right now the heart's in Ohio. Absolutely. Killers live here.
Literally.
That's tough coming for us Michigan boys to hear right now, man.
Absolutely. Now, as far as your, you know, wrestling persona goes, or, you know, who you are in the ring, how would you explain yourself to listeners who may not know who Josh Carey is?
Man, to have to explain yourself. I've spent my entire life either being sick or been beaten up for whatever reason. And at some point in my life, I got tired of it and just started sticking up for myself. And even though I'm not 350 pounds, I'm still going to get in there and make you feel like I am 350 pounds, because I got to give you everything that I've got and then some, because I got to do better than the guy staying across from me, whatever it is that I got to do. So if I got to dance a little bit to get your attention off me, to give me the advantage, I'm going to do it. Cause ultimately I'm in a sport where we compete and we fight, and it's about who's the best. So I've got to be the best. So I've got to find ways to be the best. So, you know,
absolutely.
Your best bet is just to watch what I do. Cause you see me once and you're never going to quit me. Kind of like cocaine.
I don't think that's the best analogy.
The people of my generation will get it. You understand.
Absolutely. Are you a lifelong fan of wrestling, or is it something you kind of got into as you got older?
I really didn't start watching until, I don't know, like maybe 10. And then my mom was always, she caught me watching wrestling. She'd run me off. I don't want you watching that crap, blah, blah, blah. And then when I was like 12 years old, I finally convinced her to just sit down and watch some of it with me. And then from that day on, that was kind of our routine. Me and her would used to sit down and watch it every Monday and Thursday, because it was SmackDown and Raw. And when SmackDown started on Thursdays, you know, so every Thursday and Monday, I believe it was Monday, Thursday and Sunday, Thursday and Monday, I don't even remember anymore, but those 2 days is me and my mom would sit down and we'd watch it for years. So, you know, it's not just...
What influenced you growing up?
What happened?
Who influenced you growing up?
Oh, man. Who didn't? Well, growing up, it was, you had the Attitude Era, you know, it was all the super fun stuff of wrestling. You know, you had your Booker T's and your Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho and the Giant and Hollywood Hulk Hogan and NWA and Wolfpack. Like, there was just so much happening and so much going on that to be a child or male at that point, even, I mean, how could you not just want to be a part of it?
Right.
So there's no really specific people that kind of made you, because I feel the same way, you know, when people always say, who is it that made you want to be a wrestler? I'm like, well, shit, you know, there's so many guys that, you know, I could name that there's just really nobody I could.
Well,
pinpoint.
I mean, in that era,
I can tell you the exact moment that I decided that this was, you know, for sure what I wanted to do. Cause growing up, like, I don't know how anybody can have one favorite or one person that was like that one person. Cause there was so much going on. And for so many years, you can't sit there and say that one person was a sole factor. It has to be a cluster of events or a cluster of people, you know, like it can't just be, you know, but like, I remember my very first live show that I ever went to, and it was for a local, it wasn't even local for me, but it was I went to EXW when EXW ran out of the sets out of, I believe it was Mesa or Tempe. Pretty sure it was Tempe, but I'm probably wrong. But EXW was running out of there, and there was a wrestling ring inside of this bar during intermissions. They dollar kamikazes. Like, you see people like Jay Garland, you know, every Miracle Mike James was there. You had Pay Daly and Lucha Star, Red Rum, Relic before whatever, when he first started that, it was Red Rum. And that was, they even had that there, you know, and Derek Nykerk and Navajo Warrior. There was just so many people, and to see those dudes do that stuff live, you know, and for the first time, because I didn't go to a first show until I was like 19, maybe 20. So I was already kind of an adult. But to see something like that with my own eyes, when I'm already capable of making decisions for myself, and it was just like, man, I mean, you only live once, so why not do your best to enjoy it and to be the person that you want to be rather than the person you have no choice to be, you know? So I chose to be the person who I wanted to be rather than just some schmuck who works 9 to 5. Like, anybody can do that, but not anybody can do this. So you got to be special.
I couldn't agree more.
I was about to say the same thing. I totally agree with that. Another thing you mentioned when you were talking about some of your past experiences in your career so far, you brought up The Gathering and stuff like that. We've had a few guests on the show that have all been part of The Gathering, and we usually try to get their experience from The Gathering and things like that. Tell me a little bit about
the Rock Drug Bridge.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
No.
But tell us about, how you got hooked up with them and what you think.
Bridge, so like, I only have limited experience with everything as far as hog rock goes, but I'm actually approaching, mm-hmm. I want to say this is my 7th gathering in a row coming up. So I'm going to be there this year, regardless. I'm going to be there. I may not be able to compete or whatever, but regardless, I'm going to be there. Cause I actually met my fiance there my second year. And then coincidentally, she moved to Arizona like 2 years later, and it's been a wrap ever since. But The Gathering, I mean, even not just for the wrestling, just for the atmosphere. Cause I mean, people give Juggalos this rap that there's some sort of gangbangers and hooligans, and they're just a bunch of people just trying to have fun, and people are just, you know, they're not doing anything bad. Just they just got a bad rap for no freaking reason.
Bad rap because they're different.
Because the Gathering of the Juggalos, the event itself is amazing. I mean, took me one time to go, and I've now have to go every year. You know, and I'm not a juggler. I'm not even a juggalo, and I have to come to these events, not just for the wrestling, but I mean, the people there, the things you see, you know, just to soak all that. Like, it's just people being free and not being judgmental, and, you know, just walking around, just
legitimately treating each other like you would imagine family treating family would be, you know, it's like a big family reunion.
Absolutely. And I've been to a few myself. I've even had the pleasure of being in an ICP video, and the whole song in the video was a response to the FBI labeling them as, I believe, a gang or some type of terrorist organization. And the song itself really opened my eyes to what they were dealing with and what they were facing at the time. And if I'm not mistaken, they sued the FBI or something like that and won the case or something like that.
I couldn't really comment on that because I really am not familiar with the specifics on what did or did not take place or what did or did not happen. So I wouldn't want to mislead anybody. Okay. I do know that they did. I know that there was a lawsuit. I don't know how it was. I know that they did do a march in protest of this last year. I believe it was last year. And they all had a big march and marched to D.C. to protest that, you know, we're not a gang. Just because some people want to do bad things that happen to listen to their music doesn't mean that they're all bad people. People are all capable of making their choices regardless of what music they listen to or whatever. So why can't you just hold the person accountable for their decisions rather than, you know, the people that have no choice on what that person does with themselves?
I mean, I couldn't agree more, because the Comic-Con that we did where we got to interview Booker T and all those guys was actually set up by the guys from was it Magic Entertainment? I think it is.
Psychopathic?
No, it wasn't Psychopathic.
Magic Ninja?
It might have been. I think it was Magic Ninja, but I want to say it was the guys from Twisted. Because they.
Well, that would have been. I'm pretty sure that's Magic Ninja.
Because all I know is they are the guys that split from ICP. They were with ICP for quite a while, and then split. And then they are the ones that put on that Comic-Con that we were at. And all the people I met there, I mean, like you said, you're not a juggalo. I'm not either. But going there and meeting a lot of those guys, because we were there for 2 days or so, I mean, everybody I met there was cool. Like, you know, I mean, and I went to a few JCW shows at the Modern. I've never had a bad experience with any of them. I think a lot of times, just because they're different, it's like most things in this world. It seems like nowadays, man, society, if you're different than, you know, what status quo is, you get labeled that way. And like I say, in my experiences with juggalos, I've never had a bad experience with them. They've always been cool. For you being a wrestler, you know,
hold on, real quick. Producer Randy, how much time we got?
About 5 minutes.
Oh, shit.
Since we're running low on...
Let me ask this one question right quick, because I don't know if he was there or not. And Josh, feel free to, you know, say I wasn't there, because I've seen a lot of familiar faces from the area, not sure. But speaking of music, were you a part of any battle rap that happened in wrestling, you know, I think a year or two ago?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Right. I mean, I can't remember doing a battle rap, but every once in a while I'll bust out in a freestyle just for shits and giggles, but I don't think I did a battle rap.
No, I mean, like, were you a part of a battle rap in wrestling?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure no. Okay. Pretty sure no.
Okay. What was your question, Kyle? Kyle.
Huh?
Your question.
Oh shit! My bad, dude. I was talking. I was talking to Randy while you guys were talking. Sorry, my mic was muted. But yeah, my question was, you know, we were talking about the gathering and things like that. For a wrestler, man, like, we hear about all the guys that go to the gathering. We've heard Jerry Lawler, Flair, a bunch of guys that have all been there. You know, like, what's it like for you being a guy out in the indies to be there at the gathering, and like, what does that do for you to be around all those kind of guys? And what are some of your fondest memories of getting to wrestle there, if you have any?
Every moment that I've had has been a cherished moment. But my very first year that I went, they had tryouts like they do every year. And my opponent that day was Terex, who's out of California. Me and him, we had our tryout match. And off of that, he gained a match onto the show, and then they decided, Vampiro and the Ring Riders at the time, decided they were going to change the tryouts and make it more of a seminar. So that was the first year that they decided to really, like, not the first year to take it seriously, but like to really, really take this seriously as a tryout and as a, you know, a step for the future class, you know, for the future, the next generation. So for the next several days, we would get in the ring with Vampira and the Ring Riders, and they would go over certain things. We would do cardio. We would go over, you know, seminar type stuff. And then they put together a match with the people that were, and the wrestlers that were actually there for the tryout. You know, we got a match. We got a battle royal, which took place right before Bloody Mania. As soon as our Rumble ended, Bloody Mania went live on the pay-per-view. So we were technically the dark match for that. And I actually won that one. So that's been one of my biggest moments so far to date. Not only did I walk on to Bloody Mania, but I won at Bloody Mania. And even though it was the dark match, you know, and even though, you know, it would have liked to have been seen by everybody in the whole world, it was only seen by the people there. But even the people there made it feel like I was being seen by the whole world anyways.
Well, to make it out of that show is good.
The whole experience, being able to go into a place that I just walked into, nobody knew me, this is who I am, and then to win a match at one of the top companies in America, you know, if not the world, you know, as far as indies go, you know, is, you know, to walk into their show, their biggest show of the year, a nobody, and to win, like, you know, for anybody, that's, you know, and then every year since then, regardless if I'm able to compete, if I'm able to get contracted to compete, I'm still there, and I still manage to find a way to get onto the show, because it's important to me, you know. It's not just, you know, I'm a wrestler, and that's a big deal for me. So I have to get on, and I have to do better, and I have to earn my shot every year, because that for me is my Bloody Mania. You know, I have to earn it. I have to find a way every year to get back to that place, because that's my show.
And not only to get on that place, but to push the envelope while you're there.
Tony, are we? Recording time is almost up, so go ahead and wrap up.
Okay. All right. Well, I do want to thank our guests for coming on, Josh Carey, and for all the promoters in the Detroit area, Ohio, the Canton area, Cleveland, even in Pittsburgh. He's in the area now. He's here. He just told you who he was. You were listening. So, Josh, why don't you go ahead and throw out your social media out there one more time and a way for them to get in contact with you for booking.
All right, well, your best bet is through Twitter at WWJSCD or Facebook at Joshua Scott Carey. You can also get to my Facebook by going to my Twitter, and my Twitter is shorter, so it's probably your best bet, WWJSCD. Hit me up, send me a link, DM me, PM me, DD me, whatever it is nowadays. You know, just get it to me, and I'll run with it.
Absolutely. And once again, I am Tony Thunder. I'm Tony Thunder everywhere except on Twitter, because I've got to find a motherfucker who stole my name. Tony Thunder on Facebook, Tony_Thunder on Instagram, TheTonyThunder on Twitter. Yeah, we got Sugar Salty Cow. What's your social media?
You can find me on Twitter at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit, NOKOUT. Same on Instagram, just spaces in between the words. And check us out on Facebook. That's the best way to keep up to date with everything with the show. Knockouts and Three Counts podcast on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at KO3CPod. And be on the lookout next week as we bring Movado to you. On that note, fuck your couch!
Can it be free? Oh, wait, producer Randy, give him your social medias.
Oh, excuse me, ladies and gents.
You can find me at Randy Walker on Twitter, at RandyWalker83 on Instagram. And remember to visit the show's website, ko3cpod.com. And if you're looking for visit Southfield Quality Cars and mention code 19309 for a discount.
1939.
19309.
1939.
Good night, everybody.
Producer Randy fucking hates you, Kyle.
Hey.
RentAWrestlingRing.com. Your bonus for your birthday, funerals, birthdays, your mama's birthday, your baby was just born. RentAWrestlingRing.com. We'll come set it up and jump in there for you. Hell yeah.
Peace.
All right.